Bruce Hall's Second Opinion.
You play to win the game. You don't play to just play it.
Brought to you by the National Association of Realtors.
Swung on and hit in the air to deep right center. It is high. It is far. It is gone.
Bruce Hall gives you all the latest sports news from a handicapper's perspective.
What the hell's going on out here?
Join the conversation by calling in at 240-317-7294. Now, here's your host.
They are who we thought they were, and we let them off the hook.
Bruce Hall and Roy G.
We're on. This is Bruce Hall. I had a pretty big weekend this weekend. So, look, if I seem to be floating in and out of consciousness during this... During this show, it's because we celebrated my high school's 60th birthday this weekend, and we had a wrestling reunion of former high school wrestlers with Coach John Epperly, and we must have had 20 guys there almost. And I also represented the soccer team, and there were two of us there, and I represented the baseball team, and me and Dave Marasco were there. Larry Funkhauser was there. He's an older guy. I used to, in junior high school, go watch him play football and baseball. Back when people actually could walk 2 or 3 miles. Oh, my God. Oh, we're going to talk about that later. The thing of it is that high school reunions are pretty cool. They, you know, we had a dance on Friday night, and everybody's on Facebook now, which... you know, you can go to my website, brucehallsports.com. I have a Facebook page there. You can also go to just Bruce Hall. If you search Bruce Hall, you'll probably get more stuff to look at that is just pretty incredibly crazy to see. The thing I like about reunions is being the youngest kid in the class, I don't feel so bad anymore because I'm 59 and all my classmates are 60 and 61. But there were kids there as young as, you know, in their 30s and 40s. There were people from, I think the first class at Wakefield High School was 1957. And my best friend's oldest brother, Stuart, Alan Steele, Stuart Steele, was in the class of 59. He looks like he's 40 years old, and he dances like 3 times a week. He goes out and he does, you know, ballroom dancing. He does line dancing. He's just a great, great guy in great shape and has great genes. I'm Bruce Hall. You're listening to Bruce Hall's Second Opinion. Roy is still in Mexico, evidently. He went down there last week. He'll be back next week. And hopefully with a tan, because the boy needs a tan. He's kind of mealy looking. He has kind of light skin. And I'm hoping that Cancun weather will take care of him. Pretty sure he went to Cancun. Don't think he's a Cabo guy. The Knicks lose yesterday. And they got back in the game. But, you know, I'll tell you what, Indiana is, I mean, they're tough. That's a tough team. I think that series with Miami will go 7 games. I think that it's going to be an orchestrated kind of deal anyway. It generally is with the referees in the NBA. They seem to be equalizers, especially when it comes to showtime. We were going to have I was going to have Scott O'Neill on today to talk, but he's going to come on next week and talk to us about what do the Knicks need to do in the offseason. I don't think anybody knows any better than Scotty O'Neill, who was, you know, around Madison Square Garden and the Knicks and the Rangers for several years. But, you know, Carmelo had 39 points. They just, you know, when you shoot 40% and the other team shoots 50%, you're playing catch-up all the time. And I just think Indiana at this point is a much better team. Not, you know, they just have some things that, some intangibles that the Knicks don't have, including – athleticism on the boards. I'm sure the Knicks got out-rebounded probably by 6, 7, 8 rebounds. But like I said, 40%, you know, that you can't shoot 40% unless you play defense like the Chicago Bulls when Michael Jordan was around. And I just don't see it. I didn't see it. You know, the Knicks, I got to tell you, I mean, with Woodson at the helm, they did a great job this year. And I love Woodson. I think that he's the guy. They're never going to lose a game or games, let's put it that way, in multiples. With a guy like that, that is as deliberate and as smart as he is, especially on the defensive side of the ball. Defense creates offense. And if you don't play defense, guess what? You don't have offense. And that's just the name of the game. The New York Yankees, you know, I was pretty hard on the Yankees at the start of the season, and I apologize for that. But I, you know, since Mickey Mantle left New York, I haven't been much of a Yankee fan, you know, because I live a little further down the Eastern Seaboard than North Jersey or New York. But there are Yankee fans everywhere. I mean, when the Yankees come to any town in the United States, there's, you know, thousands of supporters and fans there wearing, you know, Jeter jerseys, Mantle jerseys, Ruth jerseys, you know, hell, Tino Martinez jerseys, you know, Mariano Rivera jerseys. I like what the Yankees are doing. I think that Girardi, this is the best that he's coached, in my opinion, since he came on board. Because it's not easy when you have to shuffle pitchers all the time, when you're thin at the AAA level, which they are. You know that they are. There's some good arms down there. Couple of good hitters. But they've just been beat up with injuries. You know, over $100 million is not on the field for these guys. Not on the field. You know, not even in the locker room most of the time. And, you know, a lot of sidetrack issues. But it's hard not to be a Yankee fan. It really is. This year, I'm impressed. Boston. Who thought Boston was going to be 25-17 now? Raise your hands. Well, all of those hands came up in the Boston area that just went up. Nobody else in the country thought they'd be above 500, I think, at this point. All right, how many people up there think David Ortiz is juicing? Raise your hands. Yeah, even some people in Boston are raising their hands. David Ortiz is a monster. He's not juicing, probably. I mean, Big Poppy's just Big Poppy. He might be Big Poppy Pills, but he's Big Poppy. He's hitting the crap out of the ball. I think he got 6 RBIs yesterday. We're going to go over Major League Baseball a lot. I'm going to have, later in the show, I'm going to have an interview that I did late spring training with Brandon Belt, who's sooner or later going to end up being an all-star in the National League at first base, in my opinion. He's starting to hit the ball now. He led Arizona League in home runs this year. He drove in a bunch of runs. He hit almost 400 in spring training. And Brandon is just one of my favorite players. He's a Giant guy, so you know, I have great accessibility. Brandon Crawford's made some of the best plays in, but the Giants pitching staff. How many people out there that are listening to this show that know anything about baseball thought the Chicago Cubs would have a lower ERA than the San Francisco Giants right now? Raise your hand. Yeah, nobody. San Francisco generally is in the top 4 or 5 every year, not only in the National League, but in baseball, in earned run average. Right now, the St. Louis Cardinals have the best pitching staff, hands down. I mean, they're right around 3 runs a game. And then there's a host of others in the 3-5 range. A lot of people are punching out. There were some great articles, written up this week all over the country, and we're going to go over that too when we come back from break. But once again, I want we go out of Westchester, and I want to be the first guy to say, New York Yankees, keep it up, because I love what I see from you guys. When we get back from the break, we're going to talk about the Mets. And I'm not going to be so positive when I talk about the Mets. But, you know, there's plenty of Met fans out there. There are. You're listening to Bruce Hall's Second Opinion. We'll be back in a minute on AM 1230. News Talk 1230 WFAS.
We're back on Bruce Hall's Second Opinion. Join the conversation by calling 240-317-7294 or on Twitter, hashtag BH Sports. Now, here's your hosts, Bruce Hall and Roy G.
We're back. And I'm happy to say that here in a minute or so, we're going to be listening to Rick Snyder, who's one of the best, in my opinion, he's one of the best horse guys around. Rick does a million different things here in Washington. He's been a sports journalist, I want to say 40 years or so, here in Washington, D.C. area. He also does a lot of these tours that are phenomenal. He does like a Lincoln assassination tour downtown. He's a wonderful guy. We got him on the line. Rick, is that you?
Yeah, it's me.
Hey, thanks for coming on, Rick. It's such short notice. You know, it's funny. I was just telling everybody, it was my high school, you know, I graduated in 1970. It was my high school's 60th birthday party this weekend. And I'm going to tell you, you know what that's like. And I'm seeing people I haven't seen in 20, 30 years. So, and I think you and I are close to the same age.
I graduated 78.
Oh, you're just a kid, Ricky.
Yeah,
I've coached kids your age. And my first year of coaching was 75, 76 at Flint Hill Prep in Oakton, Virginia. But anyway, and you know where that is. Rick, tell everybody what you do, because you are one of the most remarkable guys I know on Twitter, for sure. What's your Twitter handle?
It's Snide underscore remarks. Sort of like Snyder, and you make Snide remarks, so. Snide, S-N-I-D-E underscore remarks. So, you know, people often talk, oh, you're so negative. Well, you know what? There's plenty of people that sell you sunshine on a cloudy day, but not very many people tell you the truth. Well, and, you know, at this point in my life, I'll just tell you what I really think.
Well, you know what? Here's what I like about every time I hear you on the air. I learn something. And if I can't learn something on a sports talk show, I don't, you know what? What am I listening for? So, you know, I don't like to – and I'm a lot like you, too. When you get to a certain age, it's like, you know what? If you don't like what I'm saying, just turn the channel. But I even complimented the Yankees in the first segment today, because they are – I think it's Girardi's maybe the best he's coached in a long time with what's going on in New York. I mean, they're flip-flopping guys left and right. But let's talk horses now. Now, the Kentucky Derby, you know, I think I might have told you this on Twitter, either direct message or – you know, on Twitter, and that's a lot of – that's one of the things I like about you, too. You will go out there with your feelings, and, of course, you know, everybody jumps on, but that's what Twitter's all about. That's what social media is about. Tell everybody what the difference was in it, because you were with McGahee, I guess, early on. Was it Thursday morning when they got there, Wednesday morning? You were at the presser there. What did you think? Did you see anything with Orb that led you to believe that he was going to have an off race?
No, completely surprised by it. I mean, I finished watching that race and just thought, wow, that went nowhere like I thought it would. And that happens in horses. You know, you can look really smart, you can look really stupid. But, you know, I've watched Chug since, I think it was the 87 Derby. He had Strike the Gold.
Right.
So I've known the guy a long time. He's an excellent conditioner. You know, I saw the Easygoer series. I mean, I've covered Triple Crown 30 years. And so I've known Chug a long time. And when he came here on Wednesday, the horse looked really good.
Right.
You know, he seemed to feel he was coming up from it. Chug doesn't bring horses unless they're, you know, going to be good.
Right.
And, you know, everything led. And I watched him in the post parade, and he looked great. And the only horse I really saw looked awful was Departing, and he did run awful. But I've been around horses all my life. I know a little bit how to read them, look at them, tell. And Orb looked fine, and he looked fine until he got checked a little bit entering that last turn a half mile to go, and it's like he quit. You know, it was like he said, put it. And I really don't know what happened to him there. He just hit neutral.
Right.
And, you know, Stevens, you know, managed to steal a race because all the early speed didn't go out there with him, and that's when it happens when someone can go wire to wire when the others misjudge and say, well, maybe we won't go after him. And so he sets a ridiculously slow early first half mile. And then the late comers who depend upon the front end to collapse when the speed's so hard and like in the Derby.
Right.
Because everyone's burning their eyeballs out. You know, they didn't have that. You know, he was still trotting along. And Gary Stevens is a terrific jockey. You know, even though he just came back from a 7-year layoff from, you know, acting and things like that.
Yeah, he got hurt real bad too, didn't he?
Yeah. Gary's had quite the career. He's had, you know, like most jockeys, he's had some injuries. He's had some demons at times. He took off. You know, he's a real good-looking guy. He looks like Rob Lowe.
Always yeah, he does. That. In Seabiscuit, he stole the show, I thought.
Yeah, and he knows how to, you know, he's a great. I was looking at the Preakness race before and said to myself, wow, the only two proven longtime riders in this field are Mike Smith and Gary Stevens. I don't see anything else in here.
Exactly.
And he used that experience and he stole this race because by the time the late riders want to catch you, he was just been strolling along. He now had enough to repel him.
So, right.
Or finished fourth. I was surprised he even got that. He just didn't show anything. And, you know, Golden Sense, I thought coming into the final turn, Golden Sense was going to win because the race set up perfectly for him.
Right.
But I guess he needs to ride on the front more, too. So
right.
I thought Orb would win because I thought he was a good horse in a so-so field. I still think it's a so-so field. The Belmont will be a decent field, but there's no killers in these races, you know, anymore, it seems. And
yeah.
Why we didn't see, that's why Orb, you know, Orb missed a real chance to do something here.
Let me ask you a question, Rick. The, you know, the Derby was definitely sloppy. I mean, that was a sloppy track. It was almost water. Yeah. It didn't look nearly as sloppy yesterday. But from what I heard early in the week when Orb got the one post, that's the one thing Shug said was we couldn't have got a worse post. Was the bias going to be a little bit like outside? Is that where the harder dirt was? Obviously, it wasn't on the rail at Pimlico, was it?
Yeah, it rarely is anywhere. I mean,
right.
In the Derby, I saw Donna Brothers walk the track at the finish line from the rail out.
Right.
And it went from solid on the rail to down to her ankles till the seventh pass, and that's where Orb ran his race, was on the seventh pass.
Right.
Hard enough to get out of there. I mean, all tracks drain toward the inside, and,
right.
Sometimes I didn't really see an unfair track bias yesterday.
Right.
It rained for about 10 minutes, a couple hours before the race, but, you know, all the pit bull people got a little wet, but it wasn't that big a deal to affect the race. Now, sometimes horses don't like courses. It happens. I don't think that was the problem yesterday too much with anybody either. It was a fair enough track.
Now Wayne Lucas has been around forever. And the one thing about Wayne Lucas, and this is why I was just surprised that Oxbow went off, it's such a long shot, just because of Lucas. You know, he generally doesn't bring somebody. Now, he'll bring two or three horses, right, to a race?
Right.
But he generally is always competitive. And, you know, it looked like a real good. I mean, there was some money to be made at the track yesterday, wasn't there?
Yeah, it was a 15-1 shot he won on. So, you know, if you bet $2, you got 32 back.
What was the exact of?
It
was a bunch, wasn't it?
Yeah, I've got it right here in front of me. The exacta, because I didn't cash it. That's why I don't know. it was $301.
Yeah, so. You know what? Last week was $987 or something. I mean,
well, yeah.
That's the Derby. That's the Derby, though, you know.
Yeah.
Derby's
so the Derby
always like that.
They have 20 betting interests and separately, and that's why it's such a high payoff there because you have 20 different. This had 9 different, so the money's more compacted. But after Orb, which attracted about 60% of the bets, the rest of them were anywhere from about 12% to 5% of overall bets. That's
right.
How I calculated. You know, so basically, Oxbow got 6% of the bets were on him, so those 6% took on all the money. It was a good day, you know. I mean, it's always a good day because you have a lot of casual people at bet, whatever. You know, you got 117,000 there yesterday.
And, yeah. What was the infield like? All the kids still? Keg parties, all that stuff? Or do they not do that anymore?
That's all gone. They actually
Is it really?
Everybody.
You know?
Yeah, they wanted everybody yesterday.
Right.
Including the media, like just like a regular ball game now.
Yeah.
Which I really think they should because Boston really showed us how vulnerable sporting events are to
right.
Things. You know, and, about 2 years ago they made a change in Pimlico that said you can't bring in alcohol anymore.
Okay.
And that changed everything. And what they do now is bring in really big musical acts so the young people will still come. And Pitbull was there and all I could tell you, he was singing was boom, 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 boom. But the kids were having a great time with it, you know. I mean, all I know about Pitbull is what I see on beer commercials. But, you know, he was You know, he had them going. And another guy, Macklemore, which I don't know, had a huge crowd. So the crowd has become much more family-friendly as they wanted. Yes, you can still drink. I'm sure there were some drunks out there. But yesterday was like 65 and overcast. And it wasn't the day. It wasn't like the old days where you had bikinis. And
the old
days were sex, rock and roll, drugs, everything went. But those days were gone.
Did you ever live in Baltimore in your years in the metro area?
I lived in the Baltimore suburbs for a couple years when I got lost. And I finally found my way back to D.C. area.
Yeah.
But I worked in Baltimore very early in my career for a couple years, and then I
worked were you with a son or?
I was with a group called the Baltimore Bulletin. It was a sports publications, sports weeklies, mostly NFL.
That's super.
And I spent a couple years there, and then I went to the Washington Times in '85, and been in the Washington market until next month when the Examiner closes.
Yeah, that's sad. You know, I read like four papers a day, Ricky. And it's what they've done to the newspaper industry. The Washington Post is like four pages sometimes, a sports page. It's not even hard. There's no high school stuff. I mean, there's nothing. Let's talk real quick now. Hey, when we take a break, can you come back just for a few minutes?
Because
I want to talk about the Belmont for sure. The thing I like so much about the Preakness is where the track's located. You know, it's right off Northern Avenue. It's right off of whatever that is, 81. I used to live in Roland Park. I lived in Roland Park for about 2 years. I lived in Baltimore for 2 years back in 78, 79. And I'm going to tell you something. That is one different kind of a place to go to enjoy horse racing. Now, I guess the season at Pimlico will be on for another month or two. Or does it run into the summer? I don't think it goes into the summer.
I think it's going to be another 2 weeks or so.
Yeah, well, I'm going to be out there this week, and I got to tell you something. I'm hoping to see you out there at least one day because there's got to be some money to be made out there. Let's start in on the final leg of the Triple Crown, and there isn't going to be a Triple Crown this year, obviously, but the Belmont. Who do you think's going to show up for that? I know Orb's coming back. At least that's what he said.
Yeah, the Belmont people yesterday handed out a flyer saying who they expect to come outside. And it was Golden Soul, who was second in the Derby, as expected. Revolutionary, late runner. I think he was fourth.
Yeah, he's a strong horse, too. Yeah.
They're all the same. Todd Fletcher is also bringing his speedster, Palace Malice, who is just a six furlong speedball who will not allow what happened yesterday to happen in the Belmont necessarily.
Right.
So he's coming. Power Broker was a Baffert horse. Overanalyzed is also another Fletcher horse. Or if they expect if he's healthy. I mean, that's his home track.
Well, you'd think
he'd
be there. Right.
He'll probably be there. Golden Sense they're talking about, but I don't think so anymore. And Freedom Child, which is nobody and anything we know about.
All right.
That's about, they'll have about 10.
That's perfect size for me. Ricky, hold on, and we'll be right back. I've got a couple of reads here. For the first time in generations, the dream of home ownership is being threatened. Realtors, members of the National Association of Realtors, are here to represent you and protect home ownership. We'll be back in a second on News Talk 1230 WFAS. We've got Rick Snyder on the phone. We're going to talk Belmont. We're going to talk a little bit about Mid-Atlantic Sports.
Welcome back to Bruce Hall's Second Opinion. You can stay up to date all week by going to BruceHallSports.com or by going to Facebook.com/BruceHallSports. Now, here's your hosts, Bruce Hall and Roy G.
Yeah, Roy G's probably not even up yet. He's in Mexico on his honeymoon. I'm lucky enough to have Rick Snyder on the phone right now. Rick, thanks for coming on. Thanks for being here. You know, when it's Triple Crown time, it's nice to have somebody that knows the racetrack, and nobody knows it better than Rick Snyder. Rick, let's talk Belmont here. What do you see happening this week, and who do you think is the horse? I mean, you talked about Revolutionary being there. That's a lot of horse, isn't it?
Yeah, Revolutionary closed very well in the Derby, and got the chart right here, so I can even see where he finished. It was in the top part. I mean,
I think he was fourth, wasn't he? Yeah.
He is. I got the chart here. He was I mean, he was one of those horses I looked at the very end and said, wow. No, he's third in the Derby. So,
yeah, there you go.
You know, he closed. He was 18th early. He really got off bad. The Belmont is a real difficult race to decide sometimes because it's a mile and a half, which is the only time a major stakes race in this country. It's a throwback to the old British days.
Right.
But what they do, people always misunderstand this race. It's really two races. It's jogging for 3/4 of a mile, and it's running hard for 3/4 of a mile.
Right.
And that's how you have to do it if you want to win. Now, you have to have the stamina to go through the whole mile and a half when horses are used to going, you know, mile and an eighth to mile and a quarter.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, you have to not sit here and run your eyeballs out early like Palace Mouse is going to do, because when you get to the – when you enter the turn at Belmont, unlike any other track in America, you still have a half mile to run.
Right.
That is a much longer way, and many a jockey has miscalculated that, moved his horse too early. Chris McCarron admitted it. He did it on Ali Sheba back in 87 to lose the Triple Crown. You know, they blow it all the time. And so it's really – it's good to have a New York rider or experience on that track because of that optical illusion, and you have to have a sense of pace. So – I don't expect Oxbow to pull off that scam that he pulled yesterday.
Yeah, that was a lot. He had a lot of horse under him yesterday.
Yeah, he did. I mean, Gary Stevens at the end said, basically, I dare anybody to take us on at Belmont. Well, okay, they're going to pass you. You know? I mean,
if he jumps out in the lead, he will. I don't see him jumping to the lead, do you?
No, because that's Palace Malice. If he goes, he definitely will run. They'll sacrifice him to help set up Revolutionary, which – I always find amazing that a trainer can tell an owner, hey, we're going to blow your nice horse for someone else to win. Heck with that.
Yeah, you know,
the owner, but
it happens all the time.
Oh, yeah. You know, they'll do it all the time. And sometimes I think there are accommodations made for you doing such things. But, you know, I think Orb would have a decent chance bouncing back if he's okay. I'm waiting to see this week for somebody to say bled or something like that physically was off. Because they never say things before, and you don't know if they bled before.
Well, he's never taken Lasix, has he?
No, and you can't do that in New York. So,
oh, that's right.
You know, so I don't know. Be interested to see what he can do. I think Orb can win. I think Revolutionary could probably win. That would be my two offhand I'd really look at. Golden Soul surprised me for second in the Derby. I'm not really sure what to make of him. He was a 30-1 rat.
What did he do in the pre-Derby races? I don't even remember. Did he didn't win anything, did he?
No, he was a nothing out of nowhere. Kind of like, you know, Oxbow, to be honest. I mean,
yeah.
Oxbow was 6th in the Derby, 5th in the Arkansas Derby, 2nd in the Rebel. Now, he won some very small races down in the fairgrounds last January. I mean, you're supposed to pick that. I think it's one of those years where we're just going to watch different horses run a good race and win races.
When did Oxbow go off, like 15?
For who?
Oxbow go off at like 13, 15 or something?
He was 15-1 in the Preakness, and he was 25-1 in the Derby.
Yeah, well, he ain't going to be that anymore, is he? I'm just going to have to leave him out, Ricky.
Oh, yeah.
He won't be in my exact or my box or my wheel or anything. But you know what? I could see Oxbow, you know, play. You know, he could probably show if he doesn't run him too hard early. The thing, you know, let me ask you this: how old were you when Secretariat won?
13.
You remember the race real well?
Yeah. Well, kind of. I mean, I remember watching it from. And that's 40 years ago, Bruce.
Can I tell you what I remember like it was yesterday? What was the deal? Was he just a freak?
Yes, his heart was. When they autopsied him, I think his heart was like 2 or 3 times bigger than an average horse. And, you know, that just his lung capacity was just so much bigger, you know, to run. That was his biggest thing is physically he was, you know, this is like almost like an 8-foot guy playing basketball with such an advantage.
Yeah.
So he was, you know, he was the best, probably the best ever. I mean, he set track records in all 3 Triple Crown races.
Yeah, that was amazing. That was amazing. Now let me ask you this, Rick. Horses aren't all you love. You're a big football guy too.
Most people know me from the Redskins coverage.
Exactly. Well, you know, I'm going to take advantage of that. Let me ask you this because you know we go out in Westchester County, but we're heard all over the East Coast. You know, with iHeartRadio and all that stuff that
you know, and social media has kind of got us all over the place now. Roy, my co-host, is Sports Man Cave, and he's got like, I don't know, 8 cities that they go out of now. Let me ask you this. Am I crazy, or could there be 4 teams possibly in the NFC East that are 8-8 next year?
I don't know what to make of Philly because of Chip Kelly coming in and revamping things. I still think they're last. The Redskins, it's all on RG3's health. And while he seems to be rehabbing well, as they always say,
right.
Never anybody rehab poorly. I mean, you know, tell me in August when he's standing on a practice field, you know. Tell me the next morning does his knee swell. You know, that's when we'll know where he is. If he plays 16 games, they win the division probably. If not, you know, they may go a 6-8 wins. Just depends. I'm not a big fan of Kirk Cousins overall. I think the more he's seen, the more exposed he becomes.
Right.
You know, Dallas is probably an 8-8 kind of team, and the Giants, if the Redskins don't win the division, I think the Giants will.
You know what? I agree with you. The Giants, to me, people just started disappearing from their defense. And that happened to them the year they won the Super Bowl, 2 years ago. But they got everybody back at the right time. You remember they lost like 4 in a row? And then all of a sudden, you know, I mean, I picked them to win the Super Bowl, I want to say in September. And everybody, even in New York, thought I was crazy. And then they lose 4 in a row, and I'm getting like almost, you know, death mail, you know, from people up there that said, how could you do that? You know, how could you pay? And I went, you know what? If they get their linebacker back, if they get their safety back, Kenny Phillips, if they get this corner healthy, they're the only team I thought with their offense, you know, with their receivers and their, and then this is with a healthy Ahmad Bradshaw. They're the only team that had enough offense to score with the Green Bay Packers. And sure enough, it was the Packers they beat. But you know what? That was a long time ago. And I don't know what the Giants are doing right now. I really don't. Have you seen anything that you like with what's going on up there with Jerry Reese? And I'm not a big John Mara fan because I don't really like what he did to the Redskins. Because he was the guy behind all that, in my opinion.
If you ask him, he says he's not. I thought he's saying,
no, he runs the league. Look, it's the Giants league. You know that. I mean, this isn't your first rodeo. Anything the Giants seem to want, they get. Anything the Redskins or the Cowboys want, they don't get. You know, and that's just the way it is in the East.
Yeah, I mean, Mara's got the New York offices. They got the Super Bowl coming for the first cold weather one. And, you know, Washington would love to have a Super Bowl too. You know, after 9/11, the league says, oh, we want to help out New York and Washington because they took big hits, and especially like tourism dollars we did, things like that. And, you know, who gets the first one? New York, naturally. Now, if it snows, if it's a bad day, boy, Washington will never get a Super Bowl. Neither will any other cold weather city. There's a lot of great places. I've covered a Super Bowl in Minnesota, and it was cold, and it snowed. And it wasn't the worst thing in the world because Minnesota was kind of set up for it and the stadium was in the city. That's the key.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's not saying that you go to Super Bowls, they bring huge amounts of people into town. Like in New Orleans, you only have about 70,000 seats, but there's 250,000 people in town.
Correct.
Saying, well, what does that mean? It means 180,000 people were getting drunk and spending money everywhere around town, and that's where your economic money comes, and it comes Thursday, Friday, Saturday.
Right.
Come to some, you know, frozen tundra, they're not coming and the money's not there.
No, I agree. You know, I've worked every Super Bowl pretty much until the last 3 or 4 years because I'm semi-retired now. But the Minnesota Super Bowl you're talking about, I chartered 2 airplanes and went up there. And I'm going to tell you, when we landed, we were in a blizzard, but everybody had a great time. You know why? Because packages then were like $700-800. Now you spend $2,500 to $3,000 for a get-in ticket. It's just too expensive to go to Super Bowls. What do you think it's going to be like in New York ticket price? It's going to be ridiculous. And, you know, but it's going to be a lot of fun, too. If they can just get like 40 to 50 degree weather or even just no sleet and snow, it'll probably be a real successful Super Bowl. God, I'd hate to see it when they come to Washington. That'd be unbelievable.
I think they come to Washington when a dome is built, but that's not going to be for another 14 years or so, because FedEx Field is through 2027, and they might get out a little early if they want. There's already talk about where to move the next stadium to. I'm not convinced it's going to be in D.C. There's a place down by the Wilson Bridge where it borders Maryland and Virginia.
Right.
Called National Harbor.
Oh, man. Do they have enough property over there?
Yeah, they have plenty of property over there. I actually grew up around there, and they're going to put the casinos over there.
Did you go to Friendly High School?
I got rezoned and went to Glen Park.
Can I tell you, Ricky, tell everybody what you do in Washington in addition to being a sports writer.
I am a licensed tour guide in D.C. If you go to monumentalthoughts.com, you'll see my website that talks about – I talk a lot about the things you walk by in D.C. that natives never pay attention to. And I say, well, this is what that statue is. But I take lots of tourists from out of town and out of the country. We go around and see the usual monuments, or we'll go over to Arlington National Cemetery, and I'll tell them all stories about things and try and make it fun. And we do other tours. I do a Lincoln assassination tour because my distant relatives are John Wilkes Booth and Mary Surratt. So I know the stories well, and I'll take you through the whole thing of what happened, why it happened, and we have a lot of fun with that. And we do photo tours and all. So, you know, monumentalthoughts.com, if you're in D.C., you want to come by and see stuff, I'll take you around.
Rick, I can't thank you enough for coming on the show today. You're my horse guy forever. You got that?
Well,
I want to see you at Pimlico soon, okay, buddy? Rick Snyder.
All right.
Rick Snyder, everybody. I'll talk to you soon, Rick. For the first time in generations, the dream of home ownership is being threatened. Realtors, members of the National Association of Realtors, are here to represent you and protect home ownership. I'm Bruce Hall. We'll be back in a minute on News Talk 1230 WFAS.
Welcome back to Bruce Hall's Second Opinion. You can stay up to date all week by going to BruceHallSports.com or by going to Facebook.com/BruceHallSports. Now, here's your hosts, Bruce Hall and Roy G.
We're back. I'll tell you what, when Roy's gone, I do about twice as much stuff here. I'm like answering phones. I'm hooking up interviews. I'm doing this. I'm doing that. I tell you, I love the radio. We just had Rick Snyder on. He was phenomenal. And Rick Snyder, you know, was a beat reporter with the. We got another phone call, and it's one of my favorite guys in the world, Tony Mazur, WKRK in Cleveland, Ohio. Tony, you there, buddy?
Oh, I certainly am.
Hey, listen, man, I had to have you on. The Cleveland Indians are in first place, and it looks like they may stay there for a while. Talk to me about the
Very
Indians.
Well,
huh?
Well, this is where, I might be a party pooper or anything. I just want to pump the brakes on everyone's excitement.
Oh, be negative. Well, then be negative. That's why you're on the air. Be negative.
Well, of course, but... See, when I took a look at last year and the year before, in 2011, 2012, they've had similar records right at this point.
Right.
And actually, they had a better record last year at this point, or in first place.
Right.
And actually, it just ended up happening that both years they resulted in collapses, and brutal collapses.
Okay.
And... Not saying that you shouldn't be excited about the Indians.
Yeah, but keep it close to the vest.
Exactly. It's like you know, it's one of those fool me once, shame on me, fool me twice, shame on you.
I got to tell you, though, but you got a new manager. It's not Maniactus sitting in the dugout. It's a guy that seems to bring a little more excitement to the game.
Not only is it the excitement, it's the camaraderie. It's like this team now has a kind of a cockiness that was just not present all those years.
They're having fun.
The last couple of years, it was like, are we really in first place?
Yeah.
Is this really happening? Oh, and like now they're saying, well, you know what? We are in first place. So what? Big deal. We're going to continue being in first place.
Hey,
it's refreshing.
Hey, the other day I watched Ubaldo throw a couple of innings. He looked like he looked a little like the old Ubaldo. He was kind of all over the place, but he had command of his fastball. And he hadn't had that all the time in the last couple of years.
And he actually started the season off with bad command. The home opener against the Yankees, he didn't get a ball above 90 miles an hour.
Right.
And that's not... Ubaldo,
So whoever it was, whether it was Mickey Callaway, the pitching coach, or maybe it was something mentally, but he's kind of gotten it together and started throwing strikes, started throwing with better command and better confidence. And that's kind of what's wrong with Ubaldo. When he was taken out of a game against Boston, he was pulled in the second inning. I think he only got four outs in the entire game, and he was crying on the bench. And after that was happening, something might have clicked, and he's been a much better pitcher. I don't think he'll be the 2010 first half of the year Ubaldo.
Correct.
But I think he can be a serviceable number two for this team. And, of course, going forward, the Indians probably need one more pitcher because the pitching staff is actually exceeding expectations.
Right.
But who knows how long it's going to last.
Well, you know, Tony, here's what I like about what they're doing anyway. First of all, they spent some money in the offseason. So you know they're going to go out and get another starter if they need one. You know, because every time before the trade deadline, what happens every baseball season in July? Anybody that thinks they're in contention, they're either a buyer or they're a seller, right? If you don't think you're going to do anything, you're going to get rid of your guys, because why wouldn't you? Because it's a good idea to do that. And if you think that you've got a shot, which I'm going to tell you, I'm looking at the rest of the division. Detroit, I picked to go back to the World Series. That doesn't mean they're going to. I've been wrong before. I swear to God. It's hard to believe, but I've been wrong before. Kansas City looked great. You know, they've got the best young hitters in the league, but they're having some growing pains. And if they're pitching, which they improved, I'd say 30-40% in the offseason, doesn't hold up, and they continue to get guys a little nicked up, they're just going to be a middle-of-the-road team. Minnesota, they're overachieving. You know, they got Maurer hitting the ball like an all-star. They got the first baseman, Morneau, hitting the ball like he used to. Evidently, his concussion problems are over. They got some young guys playing ball. But guess what? They're still Minnesota. They still got the same pitching staff. They're not going to be at the top at the end. And Chicago, I can't figure the White Sox out. But all I do is I look at the White Sox, and I see an aging kind of team. And even their young players are underachieving. So I don't see the White Sox being there. I think it's going to be Cleveland and Detroit when it's all said and done. And I sure hope it is.
And there was a strange slogan that the Indians had. They adopted it in 2011. And then in 2012, they continued it and just abruptly dropped it. It was called, "What If?" What if?
Yeah.
What if we shocked the world? What if we go to the playoffs? And it was such a loser mentality,
right?
That it's like, what if? So what? We're not expecting this team to do anything. So all of a sudden they start winning a couple of games and end up in first place. And we go, but what if? It's like, you know, the team is put together with shoestrings, and it's like MacGyver. But what if? What if they did something? And it's like, you got to knock it off. How about it could be? How about it is right now? How about let's enjoy the ride? And that would be my slogan, is let's enjoy the ride. Don't get too excited. It is baseball season. We love baseball.
Right.
It's great.
Let me ask you a question. I don't even know. Look, I've been around baseball my whole life. I'm 60 almost. You know, since I was probably 15 years old, I can name off half the hitting coaches in the major leagues. Who's Ty Van Berkelio? I mean, Francona, you know, the problem when you get a job and you're a new head coach is you have to hire a staff, right?
Yep.
Whoever this kid is, he was probably a really good AA, AAA batting coach. When Francona came in, maybe he already knew this kid. I'd love to find out, because I really don't know. Do you know anything about this guy? Because he's got him hitting the baseball. I mean, these guys.
To be honest, I don't know, and that was one of those where when they hired him, they're like, they hired who? Who's that?
I mean, the only name I recognize is Sandy Alomar Jr. And you know what I love? I love the fact that Francona gets the job. Sandy interviewed, right? He interviewed for the job, and he didn't get the job. How many guys keep a guy around that do that? You know who does? A smart guy. Because Francona knows that whenever he decides to step down, or whenever the team decides it's time for him to step down, there'll be a guy in charge like Alomar that'll be an interim guy. And Sandy, in my opinion, in a lot of ways, is probably a better coach than Terry. But Terry is, he's more of a big picture guy. You know what I mean?
And you know something about Sandy is he actually, when they fired Manny Acta, for some strange reason, they fired him with 6 games to go in the season.
Yeah, that didn't make any sense at all.
They gave it to Sandy Alomar for 6 games to see how he, and I think they went 3-3.
Yeah.
And he interviewed a couple other places. One of the strange things is that Sandy's beloved here in Cleveland.
Right.
He had a really good 1997. He's always there in the community, all that. But one of the strange things that people, that like, I wouldn't mind, but when you hire someone who was beloved as a player,
mm-hmm.
you expect them to be just as beloved as a coach. It's like, for example, Alan Trammell was the manager of the Detroit Tigers from,
right.
I believe it was 2003-2005.
Right.
And they loved him as a player. Him and Lou Whitaker up the middle is one of the greatest double play combinations ever.
Right.
But Alan Trammell as a coach, they hated him.
Yeah.
And that's, from a PR standpoint, it looks very bad.
Well, you know what?
If you do that.
The thing about Trammell, Tommy Brookins is coaching third base for them now, and I played against Tom Brookins. That's how old I am. And he's in great shape. He looks like he could play tomorrow. He'd need to get somebody to run the bases for him, I'm sure. But I'm going to tell you right now, the Tigers were in Washington last week, and even though the Nats handled them in 2 games, you could just see how many quality guys they had around those guys. And it was just a great – you know, those 2 games were pitched beautifully by both sides. You know what I'm looking at right now? I'm looking at the stats of the Cleveland Indians. Now, remember I told you I wasn't a born guy? He's back now, and does he look? Have you seen him recently? Does he look like he's feeling better? Because he was injured.
To be honest, he's not the same player. He's Michael Bourne light from when we remember him in Philadelphia, a little bit in Philadelphia, a little
right.
in Houston, and then first half of the season or second half of the season in Atlanta. He's Michael Bourne light, where he'll get on base, he'll find ways to get. To get on base and move guys around. He's just not the same guy.
Yeah, he's got 2 home runs. That's probably as many home runs as he had. I don't think he had more than 4 or 5 last year. Carlos Santana, he's healthy now, right? He's got 12.
Yeah.
He's got 12 doubles, 7 home runs. His walk strikeout ratio 23-29. You know what he is? We call that an all-star. 420 on-base percentage. He'll be on the all-star team if he keeps those numbers up. This kid Rayburn?
Well,
what's that? Go ahead.
Well, I was gonna,
what do you
I
think
was
about Santana?
He's a very good hitter. But the problem is if he goes to the all-star team, I don't even know what position he's going to play because he's moved around. He's platooning like at first, behind the plate, DHing. And because he's not a very good defensive, he actually is a terrible defensive catcher.
Right.
And they have a guy named Yan Gomes who they brought up. And personally, I think he should be, with Lonnie Chisenhall being sent down to AAA, I think if you're going to put Mark Reynolds at third, Santana at first, Swisher DHing, and then just almost like platoon those guys around.
Right.
And you have Mike Avilas off the bench. You have, as you mentioned, Ryan Rayburn.
Right.
Giving quality at bat.
Hey, are you there, Tony?
Yes, yeah, I'm here.
Hey, listen, can I have you come back next segment? I want to keep talking about Cleveland. I also want to talk a little bit about the Browns' sticky situation. And then I want to talk a little bit about what happened in Cleveland. It was kind of a weird deal, you know, with the girls that they found, okay? We'll be right back. This is Bruce Hall.
This is Bruce Hall's Second Opinion.
You play to win the game. You don't play to just play it.
Brought to you by the National Association of Realtors.
Swung on and hit in the air to deep right center. It is high. It is far. It is gone.
Bruce Hall gives you all the latest sports news from a handicapper's perspective.
What the hell's going on out here?
Join the conversation by calling in at 240-317-7294. Now, here's your host.
They are who we thought they were, and we let them off the hook.
Bruce Hall and Roy G.
We're back. Matt and me. Me and Matt. Hey, Matt. Matt has been very technically oriented today. He's doing stuff I've never seen him do before. He's like counting down. He's talking into the mic. He's doing tests.
Yeah, we're running off our backup feed right now, so I'm trying to figure out whatever how long
means.
It takes for us to say it, how long it takes for when we say something to it gets to the studio.
It's giving me a headache just thinking about it. Is it kind of like the sound, the speed of sound thing?
No. Sort of, but in digital terms.
Sort of, but in digital terms.
Yeah, so it's
cool. Well, we were talking, you know what we were talking? We were talking with Tony Mazur, and Tony had to go because, you know, I love this about Tony. He was going to church. He went into church. He did a segment with us on the Cleveland Indians, and then he went to church. And that's what this is all about. I'm Bruce Hall. You're listening to Bruce Hall's Second Opinion. Everybody's entitled to my opinion. Everybody. Hey, even you know who's having a bad week, Matt? President Obama.
Yeah, let's just move on.
Having a really bad week. Anyway, we're not going to talk about him, though. Look, we had Ricky Snyder on. Thank you, Rick, for coming on my show. Rick's going to be on more often. I love Rick, especially during football season. I'm going to get him on. The Examiner, I guess, next month is out. So Ricky's, I think he may have gotten a job. I know John Keim got a job. I think he's with the Post. I think I'm going to have to hook up with Rick, and we're going to have to do something and have some fun with football. I was talking about the Cleveland Indians, and why in the world wouldn't I continue to talk about the Cleveland Indians? Because I'm going to tell you right now, this is a team that may make the playoffs. The real story with the Cleveland Indians is a young man, if you remember my interview with Michael Kadire with the Colorado Rockies a couple weeks ago, Michael Kadire is from Great Bridge, Virginia. Well, guess who else is from Great Bridge, Virginia? And Michael Kadire mentioned his name. That's Mark Reynolds. He went to the University of Virginia, played shortstop there, like Ryan Zimmerman did, who's the third baseman for the Washington Nationals. Virginia's putting out some pretty good ball players. Here are Mark Reynolds' stats. 138 official at-bats. He scored 24 runs. That leads the Indians. He has 37 hits, 7 bombs. I'm sorry, 7 doubles, 12 home runs. He leads the next closest guy to him is Santana with 7 home runs. Mark has 37 RBIs, and the most astounding figure for Mark Reynolds on this sheet is his walk strikeout ratio. Now, for you people out there that love baseball and like baseball, let me tell you what walk strikeout ratio is. Obviously, if you've got Mark has 19 walks and 41 punchouts. Normally, that's not great. That's actually not very good. But for Mark Reynolds, that's phenomenal because this is a guy that strikes out 200 times a year, even when he was hitting 40 bombs a year when he was with Arizona. He is cutting his strikeouts down, and he is actually shrinking the size of the box he's looking in to hit a ball. And his on-base average right now is .354. That's very good for Mark. You know, we were talking Santana's is .420. Well, Santana .420 on base averages is excellent. It's like top 5%, maybe top 3%. And then you got Nick Swisher. Now, Nick Swisher, the Yankees let him go, and I kind of understand that, but there had to be something more there for the Yankees to let him go, because Nick Swisher is a baller. He can play first base. He can play left field, right field. He can even play center if he's forced to. But he is hitting .268, but his on-base average is .378. He's got 22 walks, leads the team in walks, he and Santana, 32 punch-outs. He has 10 doubles and 6 home runs. Nick Swisher is a baller. Kipnis started out like gangbusters. He's not so much now. He's only hitting .250. His on-base average .316. Lonnie Chisenhall was struggling at the plate. They sent him down. But now let's look at their pitching staff, because this is where you see they're real, in my opinion, where they've really improved. They've got a couple of starters that are giving them some great innings. This kid Masterson, wonderful damn pitcher. He has a 3.14 ERA. He's won six games. He's 6-2. In 63 innings, he's only given up 50 hits, 60 strikeouts. That's like a strikeout an inning. His average against .219. That's remarkable. Zach McAllister has an ERA of 2.65. He's another starter for the Indians. He's only given up 46 hits in 51 innings. His average against .236. And then you look Ubaldo Jimenez. Now, people were writing him off early in the year, but Ubaldo had a great outing last time out. And here's the thing about Ubaldo. In 40 and two-thirds innings, he's only given up 33 hits. Now, he's given up several runs. He's given up seven home runs, which means that when Ubaldo's command isn't there, you can hit his ball 400 feet because he throws 95 miles an hour. And evidently, his ball's pretty straight because they've hit seven home runs off of him. But he's going to get better. Scott Kazmir, they just brought him back. He's going to be okay. This is a good team. Chris Perez is their closer. 1.80 ERA. He's 2-0. You know, he's got a 2.11 average against. They got a guy named Smith who's got a 1.78 average against. This team, with a quarter of the season over, is going to be a contender in the Central. Now, they'd have to get two starting pitchers hurt and maybe two starters hurt. Hopefully nothing's going to happen to Reynolds, because Reynolds is the key. And I got to tell you, I'm a little miffed why, and I understand, and I've called Dave Johnson. I'm hoping I can get him on the air today. Dave Johnson is a remarkable baseball analyst. He's with Comcast Sportsnet. He does the Orioles, but he knows everything about everybody in the East. He knows everything about everybody everywhere. And the Orioles got rid of, he was a free agent, but they let him go because I guess they didn't want to pay him 8 or 10 or 12. I want to say he got $12 million in Cleveland, but they didn't want to pay him that money. But right now the Orioles seem to be missing that bat a little bit. Because the pitching, even though it's good for the Orioles, it's not quite as good as it was last year. And we're going to find out a little something about the Orioles when we start talking about the NFC East, for sure. I'm now going to go. We're going to talk a little bit about the games yesterday, and I'm going to talk a little bit about all of the major league teams, what's going on. In the AL East, we were talking about the Yankees earlier. They've surprised me. On a scale of 1 to 10 right now, I think of the Yankees at they're a 9. They're playing great. They're not making a lot of mistakes. Their bullpen is coming through, with the exception of a couple three games here and there. But I'm telling you right now, the New York Yankees are here to stay. I apologize for really kind of reaming them early. I still like the Orioles. I still think the Orioles are going to be the team. Robbie Cano yesterday drove in. He hit his 11th and 12th home runs of the season, and they beat the Blue Jays 7-2. Now, the Blue Jays just destroyed the Giants at home, my Giants. David Phelps yesterday pitched seven solid innings. He sent his record to 2-2, struck out 8, allowed 1 run. They're a game out in front of Boston. Who would have thought the Yankees would have been in first place and Boston in second place when this season started? I don't know. Not me. Certainly not me. I'm going to admit I was not there. The Cleveland Indians blew a 4-0 lead late in the game, but they scored on a ground ball by Mark Reynolds to the shortstop. They threw home. The guy pulled his foot. Cleveland wins 5-4. Chris Perez blew the save, but he got a win. You know, that's one of those times when your ERA gets jacked up big time. We're going to be back. Here in a minute, we're going to be talking more Major League Baseball. I'm going to have a couple of more guests on, hopefully. You're listening to Bruce Hall on News Talk 1230 WFAS. We'll be right back. You're not boring. I was-
we're back on Bruce Hall's Second Opinion. Join the conversation anytime by calling 240-317-7294. Now, here's your hosts, Bruce Hall and Roy G.
We're back. This is Bruce Hall. You're listening to Bruce Hall's Second Opinion. We've been running around the entire game. I'm going to go over some of the rest of the Major League Baseball lineup of scores from yesterday. When I left off, we were at Cincinnati Reds game. Joey Votto, by the way, looks like his knee's feeling much better. For those of you who don't know who Joey Votto is, get a life. It means you don't know anything about baseball. Joey Votto, probably one of the greatest hitters in the major leagues right now. He's not only an excellent hitter, he's got a lot of pop too. He had an ACL. He tore his knee up last year and came back, and it was you know, he wasn't 100%. He wasn't even 70% in my opinion. And I was wondering if he was ever going to get the distance and the power back. Well, guess what? He went 4-for-4 yesterday. I think it wasn't long ago he had a couple of home runs in a game this past week. They crushed the Phillies in Philly. Anytime you do that, it's a good day for the world in general. 10-0, they beat the Phillies. Sorry, Charlie. And I don't mean the tuna guy. I mean Charlie Manuel from Buena Vista, Virginia. Ryan Hannigan, the catcher who was out for a while with an injury, hit his first home run of the season for the Reds. Ryan Hannigan, by the way, is a guy who has an incredible on-base percentage. Lifetime career. And, you know, I just figured the guy wasn't a very good receiver because, generally speaking, you don't get guys that are great receivers, meaning they can catch and throw and call games, and guys that hit 300. Well, evidently, he's a really good receiver, too. He just is, you know, gets a little bit outclassed by guys like Buster Posey. But he's going to be a good ball player, Ryan Hannigan. He's not very old. I want to say he's 27, 28 years old. He had a home run. Reds are only a game and a half back in the Central. They're behind the Cardinals, who are just – their pitching staff is unbelievable right now. Baltimore Orioles, I was hoping to have Dave Johnson on. Well, somebody not related to him, Jim Johnson, who's 6'7", about 240, who's their closer, gave up – blew a 6-4 lead in the ninth inning, gave up six runs to the Tampa Bay Rays at home. And the Rays won 10-6. Now, Matt Joyce had two doubles and a bomb in that game, drove in five runs. I just don't like the Rays. The only guy I like is Brandon Guyer, and he's in AAA. He used to play for the Herndon High School Hornets in Herndon, Virginia, which is where my son played for 2 years. They never played together. He's probably 27, 28 years old, Brandon Guyer. Brandon Guyer's a hell of a ball player. Says a lot for their organization. I wish they'd trade him so he could play somewhere. I mean, the guy's a great, great athlete, great hitter. Pirates lost in 11 innings to the Astros. Hey, guess what? I was all over the Pirates yesterday, and they lost to the Astros. They scored. Astros scored two in the 11th inning. They win 4-2. The Diamondbacks got all the runs they needed in the first inning on a home run by Gerard Parra. And Brandon McCarthy, who's the guy that got hit in the head, you remember, with a line drive last year and was in bed for like 2 weeks. I mean, he wasn't ever in a coma, but he didn't know where he was, I don't think. I mean, he did know where he was, but he was pretty messed up. He pitched a complete game, 9-inning shutout against Miami last night. It was a three-hitter. D-backs, well, Miami sucks. The Diamondbacks, sorry, I didn't mean to make that any less important, Brandon, but, you know, they are terrible. They really are. D-backs moved ahead of my San Francisco Giants with a win last night by a game. Giants are in second place now, and they're playing horribly. They were in Toronto making errors and giving up a ton of runs. And then they won a game the other night, came back and won 8-6 after they were down 6-0. I want to say it was the biggest comeback they've had in like 25, 30 years. And then last night, I'm watching the game, and they're up 1-0 or 2-0, and I go to eat dinner. I come home, and they've lost. Big Poppy David Ortiz, who just looks bigger and stronger every time I see him.
He drove in 6 runs last night with a pair of home runs. Red Sox crushed the Twins 12-5. Ryan Dempster, even though he started out, you know, for the Red Sox, gave up 6 walks and 5 runs in 4 2/3 innings. He couldn't get the win because he didn't go 5 innings. The Red Sox got 4 1/3 innings of shutout relief, and they win the game easily. The Sox are a game back of the Yankees. For all of you Yankee fans, keep your eye on the Red Sox. They're scaring me. They're scaring me. I got to pull for the Yankees. I like the Yankees more than Boston. I like the Yankees a lot more than Boston. Milwaukee's second baseman Jeff Bianchi drove in 2 runs in the 10th inning with a single to defeat the St. Louis Cardinals by a score 6-4. Johnny Axford, this big, huge, tall guy that throws 96, 97, 98 for the Brewers, he got the win in relief. He's not their closer anymore, but he's like their 8th inning guy. Elvis Andrus of the Texas Rangers, you know, he just signed a huge deal before the season started. Well, he went 5 for 5. I guess he's worth the money. Scored 3 runs yesterday. Texans beat the Tigers 7-2. Anibal Sanchez of the Tigers hasn't had a bad start the entire year till last night. He gave up 7 runs in 2 1/3 innings just after he had, you know, been pitching so well for the Tigers. His ERA is still just 2.76. So that tells you how great he was pitching. Justin Grimm got the win for Texas. Texans are 6.5 games out in front in the West. It's looking like the Rangers may get far enough out in front. I don't think they're going to take any chances with Oakland this year. And I don't think Oakland at this point is as good as they were last year. You know, it's going to be Oakland's going to be there, but they're going to be 10, 15 games back possibly. There was a pitcher's duel in Atlanta last night. Dale Capuano of the Dodgers. Chris Medlin, who really wasn't pitching that well lately, but Medlin just gave up 2 hits, and I want to say in seven innings plus, no earned runs. Kelly Jansen came in relief after a walk and gave up a 2-run bomb by Gattis, and Simmons hit back to back home runs. They win 3-1. Kelly Jansen got the loss. Kelly Jansen throws hard. But you know what? If you throw it down the middle, Kelly, they're going to hit it 400 feet. Colorado Rockies beat my San Francisco Giants. I told you that. 10-2 yesterday. Troy Tulowitzki was 4 for 5. Willian Rosario hit a home run, drove in 3. You know, Timmy Lincecum, something happened on the mound. He sprained his ankle or he fell off the mound, and he just never really recovered from it. They brought a guy up. The Rockies did, from AAA, Tyler Chatwood, 23 years old. He's younger than my son, Davis. And he got the win. Pitched great, 7 innings. Padres beat the Nats 2-1. Jordan Zimmermann, the ace of the Washington Nationals. That's right, I said the ace. It's not Steven Strasburg. He's not an ace. He's not their ace. Jordan Zimmermann is. Zim should have, if they'd have just scored a couple more runs, Zimmerman would have had his 8th win. Now he's 7-2 instead of 8-1. And that's about how I feel about that. You know, we're sitting here thinking about what's going on in the American and National League. The Giants, anything could happen in the American League East. I'm looking at the Giants. The Yankees, 1.5 games out in front. Baltimore's 3.5 games back. Tampa Bay's 4.5 games back. Toronto may never actually figure it out. They may not have enough pitching. That might be their biggest problem. I'm serious. They're 17-26. How many people that make the playoffs start out 17-26? Not many. In the Central, we talked about that, all right, with Cleveland and Detroit being the teams, I think, that are going to be there when it's over. I don't think Kansas City's quite there. Minnesota, Chicago, definitely not there. In the West, Texas is already 6.5 games out in front. You got the Los Angeles Angels. The only thing they're talking about in Los Angeles now is, when is Socha going to get fired, or are they going to fire the general manager? Personally, I think you are what you get. Even though they started hitting the ball a little bit this week, their pitching is suspect, and they don't have much chemistry going on there. In the National League, Atlanta is leading the East by one game. Washington's back there. Everybody picked the Nationals to win the National League this year. Well, nice jinx. That's all it is right now. They're not even hitting the ball yet. Zimmerman and LaRoche, though, are starting to make contact on a regular basis. They're doing great. And they need them to hit to be successful. They're always going to have decent starting pitching, although it hasn't been there consistently yet. The Philadelphia Phillies are only 4.5 games back, but I don't see them being there. And people, what are we going to do about the Mets? Give me a call because I want to know what the Mets should do. It doesn't matter what I think. It matters what the fans of the New York Mets think. 240-317-7294. Give me a call, 240-317-7294. What move would you make right now if you were the general manager of the New York Mets? I'm not even going to say his name. I don't like him, okay? If you were the GM of the Mets, what would you do? 240-317-7294. The Mets should be selling now. David Wright should find another place to play, in my opinion. They need to just do wholesale changes. Because, unlike Philadelphia, they don't have as much talent in all over the place as Philly. But Atlanta and Washington, guess what? They're going to be around for a long, long time. As long as the New York Mets are in the National League East, they better start doing a better job with their personnel. I don't see it, Sandy Alderson. I don't see it. 240-317-7294. Give me a call. You know, maybe you think I'm too hard on the Mets. He's mean. He's terrible. St. Louis in the Central Division is kicking everybody's butt. They're 27-14. You know, I don't like St. Louis. I sat there in the playoffs last year in my seats in Washington and watched them come back from a 6-0 deficit to defeat the Washington Nationals. And go deeper into the playoffs where they started out up 3-1 on the Giants. And the Giants came back, won 3 in a row and beat them. But I'm going to tell you right now, St. Louis's pitchers have an ERA around 3 as a team. They're hitting the ball. They're not even hitting the ball like they can hit the ball. The guys that are doing a great job hitting the ball right now for St. Louis Cardinals are guys you wouldn't necessarily think are going to be the guys doing it. Matt Holliday, where are you? Well, he's getting fat, I guess. Cincinnati Reds just behind them, 2 games back. Pittsburgh's only 2.5 games back of them. It's really strange to see that happening. For the first time in generations, the dream of home ownership is being threatened. Realtors, members of the National Association of Realtors, are here to represent you and protect home ownership. I'm Bruce Hall. You're listening to News Talk 1230 WFAS. We'll be back in a minute with more sports, more baseball, more fun.
We're back on Bruce Hall's Second Opinion. Join the conversation anytime by calling 240-317-7294. Now, here's your hosts, Bruce Hall and Roy G.
I'm back. I'm back. Matt's back. We're all back. Hey, listen, I'm going to give you guys some games today because it's Sunday, and I know everybody bet Orb yesterday, and you're all broke, so I'm going to try to get your money back for you. CeCe Sabathia is going to beat R.A. Dickey today at Yankee Stadium at 105. It's one of the few times you'll get CeCe at minus 130 or minus 140. Take it because Dickey's, you know, he's something's going on with his knuckleball. He's not throwing it with the velocity he did last year. He doesn't have the command with his other stuff. He's actually throwing fastballs and sliders for the first time in a while. I mean, a lot of them. So that just tells you what. He's struggling. Take Sabathia. He's looked pretty good lately. Masterson against Hernandez. You know, King Felix, one of the best pitchers in baseball against a kid from Cleveland who I happen to like. I'm going to pass on that game. Moore and Tillman, I may go to this game. Matt Moore's pitching for the Tampa Bay Rays. in Baltimore, 135 start. Tillman's pitched really well this year. Moore's pitched better. I'm going to pass on the game, although in the last three starts, and you don't see Baltimore lose two games in a row at home very often. They got beat yesterday. You know what? Take Tillman. To hell with Matt Moore. I think Baltimore's going to do it. Last three starts, Tillman 2-0, 21 innings, 1.71. Moore last three starts, 5.06 ERA. Lackey, John Lackey, geez, they could write books on John Lackey in Boston. They're in Minnesota. They're pitching against a guy named Hernandez, a left-hander. I don't even know who he is. I'm passing on the game. Jake Peavy is in L.A. Now, I don't like the Angels, and I love Jake Peavy, but I don't like Jake in this spot. It's going to be a late game. It's 3:35, but it's really 6:35 Jake's time. He's from Alabama. You know what I mean? And Chicago's only one hour later. I would take Vargas. Vargas is a great pitcher, and he's pitched well this year. His last three starts 2-0. Jake last three starts 3-0, but I'm taking Vargas because they need the win. This will win the series for the Angels. The Angels have to win. You know, Jake, you know, I mean, Chicago, they don't know what they have to do. Kansas City is in Oakland. Pass on that game. Pfister is at Holland. The lefty for Texas has pitched extremely well his last three starts. 22/3 innings, 2.18 ERA. Take Holland against Detroit. Detroit seems to be having trouble scoring runs right now. Take Texas. They're like pick. It's a pick game. You got to take them. Anytime you see value, take it. Arizona is at Miami. I'm going to pass on that game. I don't like it. The Dodgers, a kid named McGill, who must be a AAA kid, is up facing Mike Minor. Mike Minor is a stud in Atlanta, and they need the win, and the Dodgers are on the road. Take Minor. That should be a no-brainer, unless this McGill kid is great. And by looking at his numbers, you don't look that great. Cincinnati is at Philadelphia. This kid Pettibone pitched a great game last time out, and he's 2-0 his last three starts. Cincinnati's Homer Bailey. You never know what you get with Homer. Pass on the game. Milwaukee, Kyle Loesch, who is struggling, is in St. Louis against a left-hander named Gast, who looks like a AAA kid too. I'm going to pass on the game. Probably be a high-scoring game. New York Mets, you got Dylan G against a really good kid, a good left-hander named Wood with Chicago. Right now, Wood is an all-star. Trust me. You got to trust me when I tell you somebody's an all-star. Take the Chicago Cubs. Nate Shearholz hitting the ball. Everybody in Chicago seems to be hitting the ball. Take the Cubs. They're on a roll. San Francisco's at Colorado. Pass. I don't like either team in this case. I really don't like San Francisco. Zito last time out gave up nine earned runs. Washington is in San Diego. I'm passing on that game. Interleague game. Houston is at Pittsburgh. Pass. So I gave you the winners. Dickey is a winner. Masterson is a winner. I took Tillman in Baltimore. I took Vargas with the Angels. I took Holland with Texas. I took Minor in Atlanta. I took Wood in Chicago with the Cubs. And that was it. I gave you six plays. You hit five of those, you're going to love me. You hit one or two of those, don't listen to me anymore. All right? It's not, you know, I do make mistakes from time to time, but I like those games. I really do. Next week, Roy's going to be back. And we're going to talk at length about what he did on his honeymoon. And I don't mean that. I don't mean that. He's been with this woman for a long time, so I doubt there were any real surprises on the honeymoon. At least I would hope not. But it's going to be nice having Roy back. I kind of miss having him around yelling at him. He's fun to yell at. I mean, he's a great kid. And saw his dad, Greg Edwards. Greg came down and sat with me at a Nationals game about a week ago, and it's always good seeing Greg. We played on the same Little League All-Star team. That was a lot of fun. The one thing that you have to understand with baseball. And I'm just going to explain this to you, is teams are generally playing good. It's very similar to my philosophy in football. Or they're playing bad. Some teams are kind of middle-of-the-road teams where, you know, they'll win two or three in a row, they'll lose two or three in a row, but they'll be fairly consistent. They're getting, they know what to expect with their pitching. They know what to expect with their hitting. But like I said, if you look at the National League, we stopped at the East when I was breaking these teams down. Atlanta and Washington are going to be there when it's all over. Philly, no. New York, no. Miami, no in the National League. St. Louis is going to be there. Cincinnati is going to be there in the Central. Pittsburgh, probably not. The Cubs, definitely not. Milwaukee, although the Cubs are playing good right now. Milwaukee, are they're going to score a lot of runs. But the bottom line is, even with the pitching supposedly better in Milwaukee now, they're still 8 games under 500. In the National League West, this is where you're seeing some competition. Arizona is a game ahead of San Francisco right now. You know, 2 years ago, the Arizona Diamondbacks won the National League West. The Colorado Rockies started out like gangbusters, but until San Francisco got there, you know, San Francisco's won one game. They've won one game. Today decides the series between the two teams. Colorado, they may be there, but their pitching's still not there. They don't have the staff. San Diego, I don't see it. The Dodgers, although they could get hot late, they don't have the pitching. So here's what you're looking at, people. When you're coming to the playoffs, if you do futures offshore or if you do futures in Vegas, you're looking in advance to who the teams are going to be in the playoffs. Right now, it's too close to call in the American League East. New York, Boston, Baltimore, and Tampa, maybe, all have a chance to win in the East. In the Central, I already said Cleveland, Detroit. Cleveland's probably getting some incredible numbers to win the AL pennant. I'm guessing Cleveland for the AL pennant's 10, 15 to 1 right now. Detroit's probably 2 to 1 or 3 to 1. The Texas Rangers are probably even money to win the American League pennant right now because they look like gangbusters. But it's going to be Texas, Detroit, Cleveland, New York, Boston, or Baltimore. One of those two teams, one of those six teams, will represent the American League in the World Series. In the National League, Atlanta, Washington, St. Louis, Cincinnati, Arizona, San Francisco. One of those six teams will represent the National League in the World Series. If you don't believe me, tell me who's going to be there. Give us a call, 240-317-7294, 240-317-7294. Give us a call. I'd love to talk to you about it. I'm looking at the guys that are leading the league right now in numbers offensively. Miguel Cabrera, what a stud. What a stud. James Loney, I don't count guys with only 128 at-bats. Joe Mauer, all-star. Dustin Pedroia, all-star. Altuve in Houston, he'll be their only all-star. He plays, by the way, Altuve plays on Pablo Sandoval's Venezuelan team in the winter, for those of you who didn't know it. Manny Machado, God, I'd love to see this kid make the all-star team. In his second year, he's only 20 years old. Alex Gordon is hitting 329. Evan Longoria, 329. Chris Davis in Baltimore, 322. All those guys are all-stars. In the National League, Carlos Gomez with Milwaukee. My old buddy Johnny Nairn, my sweet mate at East Carolina University, when John played baseball and I played baseball there, he's hitting 352. Nobody knew who this guy was. He's been around. Segura, his teammate, hitting 351. Joey Votto, 346. He's your MVP right now if they win it. Goldschmidt, he'll make it. Adrian Gonzalez should make it. Jody Molina, yeah, him and Buster Posey are your catchers. Gerard Parra, 327, doing a good job. Marco Scudero's got a 16-game hitting streak right now. He's hitting .327. He's batting .500 during his hitting streak. That's unheard of. That's unheard of. For the first time in generation, the dream of home ownership is being threatened. Realtors, members of the National Association of Realtors, are here to represent you and protect home ownership. I am Bruce Hall. I'll be back in a minute on News Talk 1230 WFAS.
We're back on Bruce Hall's Second Opinion. Join the conversation by calling 240-317-7294 or on Twitter, hashtag BHSports. Now, here's your host, Bruce Hall and Roy G.
First off, I should have never brought this up. There you go.
Hey, you better give me the daggone mic.
I'm giving it to you. I just had to take it first you're about to make a huge blunder.
No, I'm not. Listen, Matt brought it to my attention, and that's his job. He's my producer. What's Beckham's first name?
David.
You know who I know? Gordon Beckham. Gordon Beckham is an infielder for the Chicago White Sox. That's the only Beckham I know. Now, listen, David Beckham, who's married to some chick with tattoos. What's her name? He's the one with the tattoos, right?
Posh Spice.
He's got like ton. Her name is Posh Spice. She's
Victoria Beckham.
Victoria Beckham is her real name. She's cute. She's not that cute, but she's all right. I don't like bony girls. I'm not one of those bony kind of guys. But I got to tell you, David Beckham could play some soccer. What is he, 40 years old, 41 years old?
He's probably up there.
Yeah, he's up there. He decided to retire, and God knows he cried. I heard he cried. It brought tears to his eyes. So obviously it meant something to him, you know, I mean, to get that passionate about it. But I got a feeling we haven't heard the last of David Beckham. I'm sure he'll come back in 2 or 3 years with, let me think, Washington. What's the name of our soccer team?
DC United.
The DC United?
He will definitely not be on DC United.
How about the New York?
Red Bulls.
How about the Connecticut?
Connecticut.
How about the Boston?
New England Revolution.
How about the Miami?
No team in
Miami. How about the Dallas?
Dallas FC, I think. I forget. Well, the important thing is,
do you know who Breck Shea is?
Yes.
Do you know that Breck Shea is the son of my godparents
and one of the best
daughters,
one of the best prospects for the
now,
U.S.
Now, did you just hear
team.
What I said?
Yeah,
he is the son of who I was named, the son of the daughter of the man I was named after.
Okay,
he's a phenomenal player,
and he's really good.
He's played in Dallas, but he's playing somewhere else now. Isn't he with the U.S. Team USA? I guess.
Yeah, he's
now
he's a
he
prospect.
Can play. You know what? He's super athletic too. He's like really good.
Yeah, and you have to always.
I love soccer. I was all metropolitan in Washington D.C.
And we know you mentioned that anytime.
I played soccer.
Oh, it sucks so bad though.
Well, it's just it's hard to compare to everything else we do.
Yeah.
That's all. But I got to tell you, I'll go watch a soccer game and I'll sit there the whole game and just stand on the sidelines and watch these guys.
Yeah, but you have to admit, the point of this is that, you know, one of the pinnacles is David Beckham when it comes to athletes in the world.
How does he bend
it? He's the most famous athlete possibly of all time worldwide. I know we don't care about it in the U.S., but he retired on, you know, giving an assist to a goal on the top team in the world right now, which mm-hmm. is Paris SG.
Now, who was he playing for?
Paris Saint-Germain.
That's the team he was on?
Yeah, and that's
why
the biggest
is he in Paris?
Team in the world.
He's English.
Because they're the best team in the world
right
now. Yeah,
but why wouldn't he play for an English team?
Because, you know, he's won anything you can do in
yeah,
England.
Yeah, but he's playing with the French? Are you kidding me?
That's where Paris SG or Paris Saint-Germain is the biggest money maker.
Hey, somebody give us a call here at 240-317-7294 and tell me, am I crazy? But why would I want the best English soccer player that ever lived to play in for the French?
So he can set up.
Why doesn't he fight for the French? Oh, that's right,
because
they never win. I forgot.
No, are you kidding me? Paris Saint-Germain.
No, I'm talking about in war now. I'm making fun of the French. I'm Bruce Hall, and I'm making fun of the French. And I don't mean to be doing
French.
That. Well, no, you look French, you know. And if you, apparently. Would you play in England if you were, like, from France?
If I could play, I'd play anywhere.
Well, why don't you play? You should play in one of these adult leagues around here.
I probably will.
Where they, got to keep, like, you know, they got to keep an ambulance next door just in case they got to bring somebody back to life because they have a heart attack.
Let's not joke about that, please.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. Mets. Hey, and I'd like to...
But there's something you have to have to play in those, and that's skill, which I don't have. So that's why I don't play in
speed,
those.
Athleticism.
Yeah, athleticism, kicking skills.
Yeah, but you're
ability
good.
To run more than a few.
Matt, you're a great fan. And I got to tell you, I make fun of soccer, but anybody that knows me, I've coached soccer since my son was little. I mean, I've coached all-star teams. I've coached, you know... Just pick up teams. I have a great time playing soccer. I played club soccer till I was almost 30 years old.
And I'm currently coaching one of the best teams in all of the U.S.
Is it a French team?
My daughter's yellow rabbit bananas.
Is it the yellow rabbit bananas?
Yeah, they're the girls under 11.
You know, it's probably a good chance that there is no other yellow rabbit banana team.
Yeah, Rabid Bananas FC.
Oh, Rabid Bananas.
Yeah.
Not Rabbit.
Rabid.
Rabid. Like rabies?
Yeah.
That's nothing to joke about. That's a bad thing. By the way, for you kids out there that are listening to my show, don't ever mess around with wild animals and go up and pet them because you might have to go through a series of rabies shots. I'm Bruce Hall, and I'm being honest here. Listen, we talked a little bit. What did we talk? We talked about the Preakness today. Talked a little bit about the Belmont. In 3 weeks, we talked about Major League Baseball. One thing we haven't talked about is, guess what? The Knicks. Yeah. How many people think the Knicks got as far as they possibly could? Raise your hands. Oh, come on. Raise your hands. You really think the Knicks were going to make it to the next level?
Remember that a lot of people are driving while listening to this, so you don't want people.
I don't want them driving off the road. You know, we're gonna. You know what we're gonna do next week? Next week we're gonna have my buddy on and Scotty O'Neill is gonna talk about the Knicks and what they need to do, what he thinks they need to do to get to the next level. Because when you don't make it to the finals of your conference, then you haven't achieved what you're trying to get to. You're trying to get to the finals. So the Knicks came up two playoffs short, basically. They needed to win this one. Then they needed to win the next one to get to the next level. So what are they going to do? They're going to keep Carmelo? Of course. Are they going to keep Smith? Probably. Are they going to keep their bench? I think they have a great bench. I mean, I think the Knicks can play. I think they're missing maybe one or two pieces. And the Knicks could be very competitive. They got the coach they need. They don't need to be going looking for a coach. If Phil, the Zen master, wants to coach in New York, I think they should let him coach the New York Cosmos. What's the soccer team's name? The Red Bulls?
Red Bulls, yeah.
Used to be the Cosmos. You know who played
with
for the
international
Cosmos?
Superstar Pelé. Thierry.
Pelé.
With international. Pelé. Right now they have international superstar Thierry Henry.
Who?
Thierry Henry. Who
What's
used
his
to
name?
Play for Paris Saint-Germain.
His name's Terry?
Thierry Henry.
Oh, Thierry. Like a tiara?
Yeah.
Kind of like that?
Good Lord.
Is that it? Is that what it is?
Actually, I don't know why I'm defending him. I'm a diehard DC United fan.
There I know
rivals.
You are.
It's close to DC or Redskins Cowboys.
Hey, listen, I've got a thing. I've got a little thing so on my. What do you call this thing on the laptop?
Screen?
What is that called though?
A screen.
No, but it's my bulletin board. No, it's my
your desktop.
My desktop. I'm looking at my desktop right now. Bochy cheat sheet. Are you ready? Here is your National League All-Star team. Clayton Kershaw. Oh, yeah. Pitcher. Justin Upton. By the way, Justin hit a grand slam last night before last. Cargo. Carlos Gonzalez in Colorado Rocky outfielder. Going to make it. Joey Votto obviously is going to make it. Four great players right there. Craig Kimbrell should make it. The closer for the Atlanta Braves. Paul Goldschmidt, first baseman for the Arizona Diamondbacks. He's going to make it. Brandon Crawford, shortstop for the San Francisco Giants, having a great year, especially defensively. He's going to make it. Madison Bumgarner, until the last start, had an ERA like in the ones. Now it's around three. But he'll make it. He had a similar game last year where he just blew up and gave up a bunch of runs. Then he was an all-star. Or, I mean, he was one of the best pitchers in the league. He was not an all-star last year. Pablo Sandoval will make it. Chase Utley. Oh, I can't believe any Phillies are going to make it, but he's going to. David Wright, New York Met. David, you got to start hitting the ball again, but I think you're going to make it, buddy. Matt Harvey, well, some Mets got to make it. It's got to be David Wright. Matt Harvey, right-handed pitcher with the Mets, will make it. Troy Tulowitzki, if he's healthy, will be on the All-Star team for the National League. Cliff Lee, pitcher, left-handed pitcher for the Philadelphia Phillies. He's been an All-Star off and on his whole career. He'll make it. Bryce Harper of the Washington Nationals will make it. Jordan Zimmermann of the Washington Nationals will make it. A pitcher, great pitcher. Adam Wainwright, here's one of those St. Louis pitchers. He's going to make it. Javier Molina, catcher for those St. Louis pitchers. He's going to make it. Buster Posey, last year's MVP in the National League, or in the major leagues. He's going to make it. Brandon Phillips, the second baseman who's 38 years old for the Cincinnati Reds. He's going to make it. Kevin Slowey, you know what? I'm not going to take him off yet, but if he doesn't pitch better next outing, I'm taking him off. But he's the only guy I have from Miami making it. One person from each team has to be on the team. So Slowey, that's why you're on. Jose Altuve, we were just talking about him being on Pablo Sandoval's Venezuelan winter ball team. He's going to make it. He's going to be the only Houston Astro on the team. Sin-Soo Choo. That's no, I'm not sick. I'm not sneezing. Sin-Soo Choo is the first baseman. He's an outfielder. Sorry, he plays center field for the Cincinnati Reds, having a great season. Sergio Romo, closer for the San Francisco Giants, will make it, and I'll tell you why he's going to make it. No matter what, Bochy's coaching the team. He didn't make it last year when he deserved to be on it. When Tony La Russa was coaching, he'll be on it this year. Jason Grilley, closer for the Pittsburgh Pirates, will make it. A.J. Burnett, outstanding starter this year with the Pirates, he will make it. Shelby Miller, outstanding starter with the St. Louis Cardinals, will make it. Write these down, people. This is like, you can take this to the bank. Rafael Soriano, you know what? I'm going to say he's not going to make it. He's a National. Travis Wood, the kid I told you about with Chicago, having a phenomenal year. He's going to make it. He will be the Cub on the team. Chase Hedley Lamarr, for all you Dudley Do-Right fans out Hedley. There. Hedley. Chase Hedley, third baseman with the Padres. Guess what? He is the Padre that's going to make it. Patrick Corbin, pitcher with the Arizona Diamondbacks. He's going to make it. Jean Segura, the shortstop, in my opinion, with Milwaukee Brewers, who's hitting like .352, he's going to make it. His teammate will also make it, the outfielder, if he continues to hit. And that's it, people. That is your National League All-Star team as of right now. Okay? Matt, it's been a great, great show.
Yeah, and I do have to make a correction. Thierry Henry did not play for Paris HG. He played for Arsenal and Barcelona.
Well, you know what?
Two of the other great.
That's going to help the one or two people out there listening that were worried about that.
I'm sure you have a few Red Bulls fans listening.
Well, we better, because the Red Bulls, don't they sell out almost every night when they play?
No, because they're.
Oh,
they're,
you're kidding! They don't sell out in New York.
No, they're not located in New York. They're not within transit distance of the city.
Are they in Kansas?
Basically, they might as well. It's Jersey.
Hey, it's been a great show. I want to thank Rick Snyder for coming on. Ricky, you were great. We talked about horses. We're going to talk about football during the football season for sure, and in the preseason. Want to thank my buddy from Cleveland, Tony Mazur, for coming on the show right before he walked into his church and went to church. Tony, thank you. We're going to talk a little bit more with Tony next week. It's been a great show. You've listened to Bruce Hall's Second Opinion on News Talk 1230 WFAS. See you next week, people. Yeah.